Thank you, Mark. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ also. The first song that we sang this morning, that second chapter, "Oh, if we were more like Jesus and more from the world apart, communing with him in spirit and nearer to him in heart." I wish that we could all be like that. You know, the last few weeks I've gone through a lot of struggles with my sister passing away that was out in Washington State. And I thought about how I ended up here. And how I started out a blank sheet of paper. You know, God didn't give me what I wanted. He gave me what I needed. There's a huge difference. And sometimes we pray for what we want. And I wasn't any different than anyone else. I still sometimes have a little bit of that inside of me. And I think that sometimes holds me back. But I'm working on that. But it's good to look at ourselves and look deep inside. Did a lot of changing over the years. God put people in my life that helped me do that. But what was incredible was the love and the testimony of how God worked in their lives. I wouldn't want to miss a prayer service, a sacrament service, or even a church service, because you never knew what might happen. You know, our lives are so busy at the moment, our lives are just busy. I find that I don't have time to do much of anything. And with my wife being gone for the last couple of weeks, it's actually been even worse. But I want to start out with a scripture. And it is in 4th Nephi. And it is page 683. And I'm going to start with the 17th through the 19th verse. "And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, the love of God, which did dwell in the heart of the people." I want you to think about that. Do we have that love of God that dwells in our hearts? "And there were no envyings, nor strives, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lying, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God." That certainly isn't our time. But they had something that was so important. The love of God, which dwelt in their hearts. And sometimes I think that I overthink things and wonder what we're missing. The Jews definitely didn't have it. And at some point, the Nephites didn't either. It took some disasters to bring them back to that. I understand how important it is for those disasters to happen. And find that I myself am lacking in this area. When you were in some of those prayer services, there was a joy that was just unspeakable that you didn't ever want to leave. changed who I was. It made me want to desire a better way. It made me want to be a different person than I was. Let's go to 1 Timothy. And I'm just going to read what Paul says in the first chapter here, not all the way through. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest change some, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having served have turned aside into vain jangling. I want to stop there for a second. Charity. Do we have it? Not very well. Even for myself. Out of a pure heart. What is a pure heart? Because you love your brothers and sisters and everyone else the same way. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other things that is contrary to sound doctrine. That's what the law is for. Do you need it? Absolutely. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I look at myself and I think the same way, of sinners of whom I am chief. Sometimes wonder and have to catch myself because it fits me. It fits me. Book of Mormon, first chapter, page 688. Verses 14 and 15. But wickedness did prevail upon the face of the whole land, insomuch that the Lord did take away his beloved disciples, and the work of miracles and of healing did cease because of the iniquity of the people. And there were no gifts from the Lord, and the Holy Ghost did not come upon any because of their wickedness and unbelief. I sometimes wonder if that's not us. And I think it is happening again. See, we go back to that fourth chapter of 3 Nephi, a couple pages back. There wasn't a more happier people created by the hand of God. Doesn't seem like much happiness there. And I do wonder about our unbelief. Page 711, the Book of Mormon. Actually, it is. Yeah, sorry. And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be God, a God of miracles, and yet be an unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God, and he ceases not to be God. And is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceases to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God in whom they should trust. Behold, I say unto you that whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing whatsoever, he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ. It shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. That's quite a promise. So why doesn't it happen? You know, a friend of mine asked me one day, not very long ago, he says, can you change the mind of God? That answers it right there. Can you change the mind of God? Are you righteous enough that you pray for these things? Know not the God in whom they should trust. You know, I said in Sunday school this morning, the word spirit, what does it mean? What does it mean to you? It says way of thinking. So do you know the way of thinking of God? Or is it your way of thinking? His ways are much higher than our ways. So if you know what is thinking, and this is an important thing, is to have that spirit to be with us, to think like God. Do we think like God? How do you know that you're missing something if you've never experienced it? And how do you know God? You know, last week I gave the talk on the sacrament. And I asked a question. How did you come prepared? How did you come prepared? There are much ministry out here that is sitting in these pews that need to be preparing themselves for that work. Were there not people that came wanting an answer? Because I've seen those things. It's how we prepare our lives. It's how we desire to serve our God or to think like our God. You see, I can't put myself in the category of Paul because I know that he was a very learned man and I know that he was, he thought he was doing the right thing until God stopped him one day. And what did he do? He didn't change anything about Paul other than his way of thinking. His way of looking at things. His understanding. Didn't change his zealousness. Didn't change anything about him. And that's the same thing for us. How do we purge our minds and cleanse ourselves? This is important. This is really important. Because it should be changing our very being. It changed myself. I mean, and I can tell you, I've experienced many of these things. The reason why I read these scriptures is because I know that there is so much greater for us. I want that for you. But I think we're satisfied in being the church. Are you satisfied with the direction your life is going? You know, I understand why God did not give the things I thought I needed back when I started this journey. And so I trust that He knows what He is doing. And I ask for that direction, that I might pray for His will, think like Him, understand those things. Let's turn over the page in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start in verse 94 and 95. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanliness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and the living God. See that ye are able, that ye are not baptized unworthily. See that ye partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily, but see that ye do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if ye do this and endure to the end, ye will in no wise be cast out. Don't be asking for things that you know you're not supposed to have. You know, I used to work at a job where I was a fuel man. And there was always people that would say that they just wanted to win the lottery. Just wanted to win the lottery. It's kind of like a shortcut. And if you play, you want to win too. You didn't buy a ticket just because you wanted to lose. I mean, makes sense, doesn't it? But you know, I think about it and I use Elisha as a description. He wanted a gift from God. And it was an incredible gift. He wanted that double portion of Elijah's spirit. Right? The power of God. That's an incredible gift. Now, if God supplied everything that you needed, what would you need all that wealth for? You ever thought about that? Supplies all that we need, for the most part. You see, we deceive ourselves. What would be the first thing you would need to do if you won the lottery? You'd probably have to get an attorney and change your number. That'd probably be one of the first things you'd have to do. Right? It changes your life. Now, when Naaman came to visit in the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, because it tells us in the 2nd chapter why Elisha wanted that gift. And he knew that he had it, right? So in 2 Kings, Naaman comes to visit. And Naaman's a leper, right? He's a man of valor. A good man. He's head over all the Syrian army. Right? And so he comes and he wants to be cleansed of this leprosy because one of the little maids that was looking after his wife said, there is a prophet in Israel that could recover thy master of his leprosy. You think that was just said by accident? I don't think so. But anyway, this guy comes to visit. And it's a long read. I mean, I could go through it all, but I'm just going to give you. And so he comes to Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't even come out, but sends his servant out and tells him, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. So he goes away mad. Now, why did Elisha not come out? And the reason is because he didn't want to get the credit because Naaman says, well, he should have put his hand over and recovered the flesh. But he didn't. And so he went away mad. And so one of his servants said to him, look, if he told you to do something great, wouldn't you have gone and done it? And so he goes and he does exactly what the man of God says. Washes 7 times in the Jordan River and his flesh comes. Now this man bought an amazing amount of wealth. It's 5,000 pieces of gold. And then all the rest of the stuff that he bought with him. Be like winning the lottery. How come Elisha took nothing? How come he didn't take anything of it? Not even 2 beasts of burden. One reason was because he wanted to know that it was because of God that had done those things for him. But the other reason was, and it's really telling, in this 25th verse, when his servant comes back after taking a portion of it. And in the 25th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, it says this, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? Kind of grieved because of the lies. When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, had the power of God. He knew these things. God had poured this Spirit out upon him that he knew exactly what had happened. Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? I'll stop right there. Gives a list of things. All those things were going to require work. Now, if God supplied everything that you needed, what would you need those things for? You see, it was all the people that were going to have to take care of all those things. It was all the things that you were going to have to do instead of having that relationship with God that gave you all the things that you needed. Look, my wife has been gone for the last 2 weeks. I work a lot of hours. And so by the time I get home and do the chores, it's time for bed. By the time I get up in the morning, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, to go to work. Let the dogs out, cook myself breakfast, and go to work. That's it. You see, all that I have is of no value to me. I don't have a servant. And so with my wife, you know, she would make it easy for me. So I understand perfectly well why Elisha didn't. You see, we struggle for all these things that we say success. But yet God gives us what we need. You know, it's one of those things that kind of make us look at ourselves and why we do these things. It makes me see things in a different way. And I suppose most of you aren't much different. Let's go to page 746, Book of Ether. I'm going to go to the 13th verse. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracles among them. Wherefore he showeth not himself until after their faith. I'm going to go back to the 7th verse. Wherefore dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trials of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself not unto the world, but because of faith of men he has shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gifts, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. The promise. Do you believe God? Does He do everything for you? And the answer is probably not. But at some point in my life, because I thought I had everything that I needed. And yet I find that I was lacking in so many different areas. Because it is about a relationship with our Lord. Remember I said that the Spirit is a way of thinking. How do you think? Do you know the Scriptures inside and out? You know, we have problems in the church, right? And so, are we carnally minded or are we spiritually minded? Which are we? I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. Third chapter. First verse. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We have divisions, we have strifes, and we have envyings. And yes, we are carnal. I'd like to think that wasn't us, but I know that it is. You see, all those things that I have, they are just things. But yet they rule my life. They do rule my life. I can't just not feed the cattle, water them. I can't do those things. Can't not cut hay. I haven't been able to cut my hay. But there is something in our lives that hinder us from having a greater relationship with our Lord. Satan wants to keep you busy. He does everything in his power to do that. Takes away your peace of mind. We become slaves. I don't want to be a slave. It says that the truth of God would set us free. Right? What does it set us free from? Do we have fears? No, I don't fear anything other than not doing my Lord's work. That's the only thing I fear. I want you to think about those things and pray that you would have that understanding, that way of thinking that God wants us to think. Way of doing things, that it changes us into that peculiar people. I'll finish with one scripture, and it's in Titus. It says this, therefore I endure the things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain, and this is the 10th verse of the first chapter, or second chapter, I should say. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And so, I want you to... that's the wrong one. Sorry. 12th verse of Titus. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I pray that that would be us, that we would be zealous of good works, just like my brother Paul. I thank you for your time. I pray that you receive something out of this message. And I pray for each and every one of you. Thank you very much.